Good morning. We'll be continuing on question 40 again this morning. This will be the third part, part C. As I said at the beginning, I want to park here for a little while. Our question is, what are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? Answer being, the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, which we spoke of last week, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. This morning we want to talk about joy in the Holy Spirit. In your Christian walk, do you have joy? We go through sore trials and temptations. Paul said that we're vexed on every side. If we really look at our lives and the things that we go through, are they joyous? Is our joy based upon our circumstances, or is our joy based on a person who made a promise that He would see us through, that even in the midst of all these things, we could have joy in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. And You promised that You would leave us that joy, Lord, and You would help us through this walk that You've called us to, Lord. We pray, Father, as we open Your Word this morning, that You give us deeper insight of this, Lord, that You are our joy. You are our peace. You are our hope. Help us this morning. Help us to magnify Christ above all things. And help us to have even more blessed assurance after You open our understanding to this. And if there be someone in here this morning, Lord, that is lost and outside of You, Lord, that You would reveal unto them this joy of Your salvation, we praise You and we give You all the thanks for it. In Christ's name we do ask it. Amen. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not things. It's not the doing of Christian service, which are good things that we're called to do. But that's not the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Comforter that He sent to live in us to bring us through this life. Jesus said in John 14, verses 26 and 27, He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He made a promise. He made a promise that He would see us through. And when He left, He sent the Comforter. He said, it is expedient for you that I should leave. Because if I don't leave, I can't send the Comforter. We were not left alone to walk this Christian life. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 4, I'd like you to see a verse here where it talks about the righteous walk in this life. The beauty of this truth of what Christ has done for us is we'll never stumble. We'll never fall away. He'll keep us on the right path. Verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Our path is so ever before us. Our Lord will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will bring us through. Psalm 23:3 says that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What can I do if I did all the Christian works that were possible? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give my whole life, if I did all these things, would that be enough? No, it would not.
Right.
If you would turn to Psalm 121, I'd like you to see something here. We'll read through this whole chapter. Joy in the Holy Ghost and joy being in the person of Christ. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. And notice here, from this time forth, even forevermore. Ask yourself this question this morning. Did the Lord save you just to put another set of rules before you that you could not keep before, that you now have to keep again in order to be in His good graces? Contemplate that. Is Christ's love for you based upon your performance? Or is His love for you based upon what He did for you? I've contemplated that for years. And I've come to this conclusion. Just as Paul said, I know that in me, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The righteousness that God demands is perfectness. And the only perfect one was Christ. Joy, let me read you a definition of it out of Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It says, the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure or elation, a source or cause of pleasure or delight. Something, or notice here, someone greatly valued or appreciated. The expression or display of glad feeling, festive gaiety, a state of happiness or felicity. How can we have that in and of ourselves, knowing that we fall miserably short of the glory of God every day? The only way that we could have that blessed assurance, that joy, is if someone else did it for us and in our place. And we are covered by that.
Yes.
What is our joy based in? It is based in the finished work of Christ. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 15 this morning. And I'd like to look at an example of Abraham. And then I'll read a correlating passage in John that speaks of this specific text in Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. Give me a minute. Look at verses 1 through 6. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now to the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And in verse 6 right here it says, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, even in the midst of him being old and not being able to bear children. His faith was in God. I want you to see something in John chapter 8, verse 56. You don't have to turn that. And Jesus speaks of this exact passage right here. It's a direct correlation. It's a cross-reference, actually, in my study Bible. He says that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The direct correlation of God's promise that a seed would come from him. Not a land promise. That's not what Abraham was looking forward to. He saw Christ's day, and it made him glad, and he rejoiced. He had joy in the Holy Spirit of the one that would come and take away his sins. 1 Peter chapter 1. I won't keep you long this morning. Peter speaks of this joy that we could have in the midst of trial and temptation. Look at verse 3 in chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again, notice, unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, notice again, reserved in heaven for you. You don't have to earn it. It's your inheritance. Who are kept, not by themselves, but by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 8 here, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, even in the midst of trial. How can that be? Because he who promised is faithful to see us through. If you would turn to the book of Job, chapter 19. And thank you, brother, for that sermon Wednesday night. That was very helpful in Job. In the midst of Job's sore trial, I want you to see something. Job chapter 19, verse 24. Many of you know this by heart. But I want you to see something a verse later. Verse 24. In the midst of all this trial, lost everything. His friend, supposed to be his comforter, sat there and told him, it must be sin in your life that this is happening. In the midst of all this, Job says this in verse 25, that I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Notice verse 27 here. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job's hope and Job's joy was not in God replenishing all that Satan took from him. His hope and his joy was to see his Redeemer and be saved and spend eternal bliss with him in heaven. Many things we go through in this life, many sore trials. As James says in the first chapter, which I'm not going to go there, Brother Jimmy's preaching that this morning. He said that we could have joy in the midst of this. Joy in the trial, or joy in the one who will carry us through. I think of Pilgrim's Progress. Christian walked a long road, and he was told to stay on that straight road to go to the celestial city. But time and time again, he wandered off that road. Time and time again, and he was in some very, very sketchy places where he couldn't get free. He was bound. But he was delivered time and time again. Do you have joy in the Holy Spirit this morning? We've already looked at the assurance of God's love. Peace of conscience, knowing that our sins are dealt with. Now joy in the Holy Spirit. The benefits in this life for those who are justified, those who are adopted, those who are sanctified, the benefits of the effectual calling. I pray that we would meditate on these things. How great a God we have, how wonderful are His benefits. How that even in the midst of all these sore trials, these things, our God will never leave us. Our God will never forsake us. I pray that you would look deep into this, that you would make this the focus of your thoughts this week. What God has done. Shall any, in Romans 8 at the end, verse 30-31, it says, shall anything separate us from the love of God? Shall trial, shall persecution? Nothing, Paul concludes, shall separate us from His love. Amen. Let's dismiss. Father, we do thank You this morning. We thank You, such a great God that You are. Such great love that You showed ruined sinners, Father, that had no hope outside of Christ, and You sent Christ, the perfect man. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away my sins, who takes away the sins of the world. How wonderful You are to me, God. What a great treasure You are, the primary treasure, the pearl of great worth. We praise You and we give You glory for it. Lord, be with us the rest of this morning. In the next hour, we'll give You praise. In Christ's name we ask You. Amen.